Okay, somebody pray.
Right. As we open up God's word. Somebody like Maggie.
Lord, we lift up this morning to you. We pray that you would open our hearts. You would make us quiet before you. And that you will be speaking through, like, speaking to our hearts. So Lord, I just pray that your spirit will fill this place, fill this time, and that we will feel your presence. I pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. We're going to play a game. You ready? This game is called Finish the Statement. So I'm going to start it, you got to finish it. And I'm going to give you something and then you have to give me the pair. Finish the pair. And so I'm American, so sorry, a lot of these are American. If you know American culture, you'll know them. I bet in your countries you could do a game just like this with Chinese things or Korean things and you would know it. But okay, I got a bunch of them. You ready? Peanut butter and... salt and
pepper.
Oil and
vinegar.
Batman and
Robin.
Adam and Eve. Anthony and
Cleopatra.
Romeo and
Juliet.
Everyone knows that one, right? Baskin and
Robin.
Yin and this one's Chinese. Yeah, that's right. Yin and Yang. Live and... what's that?
Let live.
Let live. That's right. Live and let live. It's an English saying. Wash and...
dry.
Wait and...
see.
All right. You guys did great. All of those things belong together, don't they? As soon as I say the first word, you know the next word. What it is. Okay. Jesus teaches us a principle about the spiritual world. Things that belong together. So, ready? Ask and...
receive.
Can't hear you.
See.
Ask and... no, not
receive.
Ask and see.
Right.
Seek and...
find.
You will find. Knock and... it will be open to you. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Here's what Jesus says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open to him. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give to him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give to him a snake? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay. Jesus is talking about prayer in this section. Again, he's already talked about prayer a couple of different times in the Sermon on the Mount, and we've talked about that. And so prayer is an important thing. Jesus talks about prayer a lot because it's an important part of your spiritual life. And here he is giving us a principle of the kingdom of God. Ask, and you will receive, or it will be given to you, is how the ESV translates it. Those ideas belong together just as much as Romeo and Juliet. As soon as you hear Romeo, you think Juliet. Well, in the spiritual world, as soon as you hear ask, you should be thinking you will receive. As soon as you hear seek, you will find. They go together in the same way. It's like salt and pepper. Now, what Jesus is saying is that God hears the prayers of his children. That's the idea. Really, ask, seek, knock, he's pretty much saying the same thing three times in three different ways. And this is encouraging. It's a really simple principle. We ask, he gives. That's the principle that Jesus is saying. That means when we pray, we need to expect God to answer when we pray. Now, this asking, seeking, knocking that Jesus is talking about actually has a context to it. This is not any kind of asking. This is, in the context that he gives, a child asking a father. So look at verses 9 through 11 again. Which of you, if he has a son, who asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give to him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You see, Jesus is giving you a picture of what he's talking about, and what he's talking about is a father and a son. We're talking about that kind of asking. And then he completes that connection. He gives the picture and then completes the connection in verse 11 when he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven. See, that's what God is. He's your Father in heaven. So let me ask you a question. Do you see God as your Father? How do you view God? Do you view him only as a judge? Only as a king? He is those things, by the way. Do you see him as cruel or cold or impersonal? Is he just some force up there and I don't really deal with him? I have no relationship with him whatsoever. Yeah, this world exists and there's got to be a God out there, but I never really think much about him. What's your view of God? Is he indulgent? He never disciplines anybody. I mean, fathers do discipline their children, you know. Good fathers do, anyway. See, until we begin to see God as a really good father, our father, we can't ask right. Because that's what this is. This is a child going to his father asking for something. Now, this promise is a promise from a father to his children. This promise is not for everyone. This promise doesn't hold for the secular person who doesn't believe in God. This promise doesn't hold for the Buddhist or the Muslim or the person who rejects Jesus and who he is. God needs to be your father in Christ Jesus. When he is, ask and you will receive. And when God is our father in Christ, asking is really just a natural part of the relationship. See, children ask things from their parents all the time. It's kind of normal for that to happen. And so should it be normal for us to ask from our Heavenly Father what our concerns are, what is his will. Now, when we ask, what you don't want to do is just bring a list to God and just sort of spill your list to God and separate the asking from the relationship. See, when you just bring a list to God, what kind of relationship is there in the asking? You know, Lord, give me that job I want, and give me favor with the boss or this insurance issue, man. It's got me worried. Can you let this insurance issue pass, Lord? And we kind of spit out our list to God, but there's no relationship in the prayer. In that kind of praying, you know what? God is just he's a giant vending machine. That's how we see him when we pray that way. You want a candy bar, you press the button, candy bar. You take the candy bar. And when you pray that way, that's what God is. You press the button, and you expect God to take care of the insurance issue. Oh, good job, God. That was great. What kind of relationship is that? We're talking about a father with his child. Is that how fathers and children are supposed to interact? I don't think so. Guys, your prayer life and your relationship with God go together. You don't want to separate those things and just have a prayer life that cuts off any kind of relationship with God. You talk to him like your father. And so our prayer requests need to naturally flow out of a simple relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that we're telling him we love him and we're giving him thanks for whatever is going on, or we're talking to him about a problem that's going on in our lives. And somewhere in there, we might ask him something related to those things, because it's natural. That's how you deal with, that's what happens in relationships. And so if you remove the relationship from the asking, what you are doing is you are removing the power of prayer, because the power of prayer rests in the fact that God is your Father. And you want to cut that all off and then do your asking and think that he's going to give you what you want, when you're actually cutting off the very power that will get you the request. And so this promise does not exist if your praying is just a list. Asking is more than just words. And sometimes that's what we think. Now, I said the words. If we just give the words without having a heart for God and for his glory, we're not asking. Not this anyway. That's a kind of asking, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here. We're demanding. That's what we're doing. There's a difference between those things. But if we truly are walking with God as his son or as his daughter, then ask him for good things. Do you see that in verse 11, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're asking for good things. I mean, he gives the parable. You know, which of you, if he has a son who asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? What if the son asks for a snake? Would the father give it to him? Probably not. Hey, Dad, I want that poisonous snake. I think that's a bad idea, son. Okay, that's the idea here. And so we need to understand that we're talking about a son asking his father for good things. That's what we're talking about. That's how God deals with his children. James says, you have not because, you know how it ends?
You want not very much.
You ask not. You have not because you ask not. Or you do not have because you do not ask. That's the idea. Think of this parable. One day, a man went to a neighbor's house, and he went to the front door and stood there. He didn't do anything. The neighbor never answered the door, and the man turned away and left, and then started complaining. I went to his house, and he never even opened the door for me. Now, that's kind of silly. You never knocked. If you'd like him to open the door, try knocking. And he might open the door. Okay, God is saying that to us. Try asking. You don't have because you don't ask. Now, this asking, seeking, knocking requires faith. In fact, it takes faith to ask. The moment you ask, you're assuming God can do something about this. You wouldn't ask if you didn't. We have to believe that God will give good things to those who ask him. We have to believe that. Now, here in the ask, seek, knock, they're actually in the present tense in the Greek. And often that can carry a meaning of an ongoing action, something like keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In other words, it's not necessarily a one-time thing. It's an ongoing occurrence. It's a lifestyle. And not a, well, I asked him 4 years ago, and then you just never bothered to bring it up again. And so that means that we, as God's people, need to be, asking needs to be, it's seeking, knocking is it's part of our life. And Jesus' promise here, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. That promise encourages us to keep on in prayer. See, what Jesus does not say is, stop asking and you will receive. Sometimes that's how people live. They ask once or twice and then they stop and they wonder why they didn't get it. But Jesus doesn't say, stop asking. Keep asking and you will receive. So if you know you are walking with God as his son or as his daughter, and you are asking for good things, don't quit. Keep going. Keep asking that to God. Jesus tells the parable of the persevering woman, you know, with the judge, and she keeps asking him, and he says, no, and then he finally says, man, she's worn me down. All right, just to get her out of my hair, I'll give her what she wants. And Jesus says, hey, listen, if an unjust judge will do that, won't your heavenly Father do that too? And so, don't quit. So for example, the Hamptons have been coming here since the end of December, right around January 1st. I have been praying for that for 6 or 7 years. And that is something God has said to me. They are going to be part of AIF one day. And I hadn't seen it. And I hadn't seen, years went by and I hadn't seen it. And I hadn't, and then here they are. George Mueller was a British, actually he was German originally, but he moved to Britain, and that's where he's famous, is in Britain. Ran an orphanage on faith. And prayer is what he's actually quite well known for. And George Mueller prayed for the salvation of two people for more than 50 years. One of them became a Christian just before Mueller died. The other one became a Christian after Mueller died. Mueller never actually saw them become a Christian. But he felt God was telling him to pray for those two people and their salvation. And he did. And he prayed. He kept at it, and he kept at it, and he kept at it, and he kept at it for more than 50 years. And God answered him. But it took a while. At least from our perspective, it took a while. From God's perspective, what's 50 years? 2 seconds? And so I guess that from that perspective, it didn't take a while. But it did from ours. Now, if he had stopped praying, who knows? Would these people have been in the kingdom of God? But he held on to the promise that if he asked, he would receive. And he believed that he would receive. And he was a man who had a strong faith. He believed that he would receive what he asked for when he prayed. And so it was Jesus' promise of answered prayer and Mueller's faith in that promise that kept him praying. And so this promise, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you, should encourage us to keep going in prayer. Hold on to that promise. Keep praying for what God's putting on your heart to pray for, whatever that happens to be. You are God's son or daughter. He loves you. He is your father. You have been made his son or daughter through the cross that we celebrated today. That's why we can become his son or daughter. The sin is gone. Now that the sin is gone, God can say, come into the family. Come into the holy family. Sin and holiness, they don't mix real well. But when sin is gone, we can mix now, in a sense. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him freely for us all, will he not with him give us all things? Good things, if we ask him. Okay, we're going to close. But a message on prayer needs to not just be me talking. A message on prayer needs to involve prayer. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to have a time to pray. And what I want us to do is two things. I want us to first declare your relationship. He's your father. You're his son or his daughter. Declare that. Tell him you love him. Thank him. Give him praise. Talk to him however you want to. Tell him you trust him. Just, I don't want to divorce the asking from the relationship. They go together. And so we'll start with that. But then ask him for something he's putting on your heart. I don't know, it would be different for different people. And then homework is whatever it is you're asking him for, keep asking. That's the homework. Don't quit in your asking. So we're just going to have a time to pray, and we're going to begin declaring our relationship and before our Heavenly Father. So let's begin with that.